Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. BYU Television brings on new workplace satire, 9 years to Neptune, tonight. Creators and showrunners Tyler and Peter McKellar join me next. Polaris launched its new programming constellation next month through Vizio Smart TV set. We'll connect with founder and principal chairman Raman J. Dose later this hour. Also ahead, Mara Brock Akil's new enterprise with Netflix, SNL cast exits, our classic trivia question, and we offer in our up segment the aftermath of a Friday View. Wait till you hear this. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Verbal, Reason, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon for the show all about TV's current and future. 75 degrees at the top of this hour. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. We got a big three-episode week for you starting now. Some wonderful guests coming away over the next 60 minutes and change. And we invite you, of course, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone, no problem with us. Go to our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect with others, and others can connect with you, by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you and us. We will have our pair from 9 years to Neptune coming your way from Driggs, Idaho, after these news notes. Content entrepreneur Mara Brock Akil has started Story 27, a new enterprise under her overall Netflix development contract. Three scripted series make up the initial group of Story 27 projects, hour-long dramas Agency and Forever, the second adapted from Judy Blume's classic romance, and comedy half-hour Astronaut Chicks. The venture, supervised by former AMC Networks executive Susie Fitzgerald, will co-produce a documentary feature, Stamped from the Beginning, with One Story Up. Elsewhere on Netflix, Sex-Life, or Sex-Slash-Life, will get a second season next year. Take your pick. Two departs of Saturday Night Live cast members this afternoon in advance of season 47's beginning on NBC this coming Saturday. Beck Bennett is off after 8 seasons, and featured player Lauren Holt will not return after this past stand-up. Everyone else remains on board, although some cast veterans like Kate McKinnon will be seen less often due to work on other projects. Now some quickies. The CW is exploring a reboot of 1990 science fiction classic saga Babylon 5 involving creator J. Michael Straczynski. Popular British talk show host Graham Norton will join Paramount Plus as host of its upcoming drag queen singing competition, Queen of the Universe. Comeback channel G4, aiming to make its TV return by year-end, has selected its president, former Warner Brothers, Electronic Arts, and Mattel official Russell Aaron. Catalyst, the next major virtual TV festival, opens this Wednesday. Dozens of TV pilots will be presented at this event, originating from Duluth, Minnesota. And CBS's Broadway back half of the four-hour Tony Awards presentation only managed to draw 2.6 million viewers last night. That's less than half of the audience for the last Tony Awards in June 2019. Paramount Plus ran the first 2 hours of Tony's 2021 exclusively. And that is news notes for today. Before we introduce our guests, a little history. In the first full 2 decades of TV's existence, I'm talking about the 1950s and 60s, primetime television anywhere across the United States was 4 hours every night, Monday through Sunday, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And during that first hour, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, a lot of classic TV comedies and other programming was presented. In the 1970s, that whole environment changed when government agencies passed the so-called primetime access rule, where broadcast television stations, whether network affiliates or independents, could use that 7-8 hour, take it back from the networks, and program it themselves. And they did. They started out with what they call a checkerboard schedule programming, and ultimately became a mix of game shows and entertainment programs like Entertainment Tonight, The Insider, Extra, etc. Well, tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, BYU TV, that is Brigham Young University's popular national cable and satellite network, they started bringing back those days of primetime 7 to 8 p.m., with a program called 9 Years to Neptune. It's a mix of live action and puppets, all in a workplace setting. Joining us live from Driggs, Idaho, in our first half hour, the creators and showrunners of the program, the team of Tyler and Peter McKellar. Tyler and Peter, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Simon.
It is a pleasure. First of all, Tyler, how are you and Peter related?
We just recently discovered that we are actually brothers. So, yes, I am the older brother, Peter the younger brother, and we're set for life. So we're stuck with each other.
You got it. And Peter, how long did both of you dream up this new series?
Oh, geez. You know, it's been in the works for probably 3 or 4 years now, but it's been brewing as brothers. Some of these lines have been 40 years in the making, as they're quips that we've thrown at each other as we've grown up together. But the show itself, I think we pitched it maybe, gosh, it's probably been 3.5, 4 years now since we pitched it.
Yeah.
Well, before you pitched it, Tyler, how did you come up with this idea? This is a very interesting workplace satire that involves both live-action actors and puppets. We haven't seen it's been quite a long while since we've seen a primetime series mixing the two, sort of like Alf, Back to the Alf days.
there's an old memory. we had a little experience doing some marketing pieces for our regular jobs in advertising using puppets and humans. And it worked so well that we thought we would try to bring a similar approach to a TV show. This is the first time we've ever pitched a show, and we thought we'd give it a shot. We ran it up the flagpole at BYU TV, and they went for it. So we had some experience working with puppets and humans in that live-action setting. It's incredibly difficult, but when you get it right, we always felt like it looks great on screen. And so that with that sort of premise, we brought that to BYU TV and said, hey, we think we got something here.
You know, Peter, if there is an Emmy Award or a Peabody Award for original titles, you might be one of the early nominees for next year with the title of your series. How did you both come up with this idea of 9 years to Neptune?
Well, initially we just wanted to ensure that we tied the network's hands to guarantee us nine seasons worth of content. So, but realistically, it served a couple of purposes for us. I mean, one, we liked the way it sounded, second, we really felt like it accentuated the comedy of it, of you know, drawing out 9 years, how long it takes to get to Neptune, and all of the hilarity that can come from that.
Mm-hmm. So, Tyler, talk about what this series is all about. What kind of workplace do we have where you combine live actors with puppets?
Like you had mentioned Alf, and of course there's some other, even your little trivia portion at the top of the show talked about primetime shows through the 70s and 80s and so forth. And there is a history there of, be it the Muppets or Alf or other shows that use humans and puppets in the same setting. Often they never refer to each other as puppets on one side or humans on the other, but they're all of the same world. And we've adopted that same approach here. The majority of the characters are puppets of varying, somewhat stereotypical personas. And there's presently two humans that are also part of the cast. And I'm actually forgetting what the original question was, but I'm going to keep meandering here to describe some of these characters. We felt another trope that we've sort of gone with is the idea that puppets can very easily be the comedy to the straight characters of humans, and we've definitely leaned into that. Puppets are childlike in a way that allow you to put certain words in their mouth or give them certain actions that are bizarre and weird and funny, and we've tried to lean into that and letting the humans be the straight man to that duo. And so what we end up with is a workplace comedy where, like a lot of workplace comedies today, it's not big disasters that need addressed. It's the minutiae of office life This crew is headed to Neptune, and they are, for the most part, completely unequipped for the mission. And we can get into that later as to why they're on the mission. But someone's sandwich gets stolen, or they decide to hold a talent show, or or some other scenarios that.
Yeah, and I'll chime in that the thing that makes it interesting there is I mean, one of the things we set out to do is Tyler and I both got kids, and to be frank, a lot of the kids programming that we watch with our children today is unwatchable. It's not interesting. It either is far too kid-like, or it's too adult and not appropriate for kids. And we really wanted to make something that kids and parents could watch together. And even if the kids weren't around, the parents would be like, I want to watch this show because it's fun. It's not a kid show. And that's, going back to your original question, that's really one of the reasons why we were drawn to puppets, is puppets are so visually interesting for children and fun for them to watch and engaging. But then we can bring in some more clever writing and better storylines that will pull parents and adults in to that world. And so having both puppets and humans on board does that, and puppets in particular help us to appeal to children, but also then we also don't have to write down to children's level, which so many kids shows do today.
We're talking about the new BYU TV series, 9 Years to Neptune. It's premiering tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 4:30 Pacific, on Brigham Young University's National Cable and Satellite Network, which is available nationwide all over the place. And we're talking with the two people behind the series, their creators and showrunners, Tyler and Peter McKellar, joining us live from Driggs, Idaho, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tommy, I'm with you live from New York on the other end of the U.S. of A, in New York City, where it is now 78 degrees at the top of the hour. Beautiful day here in the Big Apple, and we invite you to interact with our guests. Just give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This is the first of another three-episode week, our second in a row on the program, and we have two more 90-minute episodes coming your way Wednesday and Friday at this very hour. Coming up on Wednesday, tonight, Sinclair television stations are launching a new, combo primetime and late-night news block called the National Desk. Earlier this year, they launched a morning block. Now they're doing an evening block. We will speak with the content director at the National Desk, Michael Garber, in our opening half hour. And then, in an intermediate exclusive, Chris Silver, the executive producer and main writer of the new CBS hit NCIS Hawaii, which we think is the new broadcast network television series of the year so far in terms of viewers. Episode 2 is tonight at 10 p.m. Pacific time on your local CBS station. And Chris will join us for an interradio exclusive interview on Wednesday in our second half hour. And finally, rescheduled from last week, we will have the executive producer of the new series that reunites cast members of iconic television series, Idle Chat, Roger Neal. That's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, 9th edition of our program right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tyler, given the fact that there's some science fiction in this, I'm wondering whether Mystery Science Theater 3000 or Star Trek or other classic science fiction series, the Mystery Science Theater, of course, is one that you have both humans and puppets involved, whether they were inspirations for your series.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's interesting that you bring up Mystery Science Theater. We actually have one of the puppeteers that we were able to get for the show, Nate Beagle, actually works on the Mystery Science Theater tour show right now. I just want to put a plug in real quick for the tremendous talent of the puppeteers we were able to secure for the show. Puppeteering is one of those things that when done well, it looks really easy and it looks effortless, but you quickly learn that it's anything but. And the crew of puppeteers, including Dallin Blankenship, who was our puppet captain and the builder of the puppets, just hit it out of the park. We would not have been able to do the show without them. So a quick plug in there for our great puppeteers. As for the science fiction aspects of the show, we actually don't have many We continue to think of this as basically a workplace drama in space with puppets. And it's far less about space-related topics and more about human nature. And so, yes, they are hurtling through space on a daring mission to Neptune, which if you tune into episode one, you'll get a little inkling of what the mission purpose is. But it's really about, again, that day-to-day minutia and the collision of egos and expectations and frustrations that where the comedy starts to fly.
Are there certain things, Peter, that you want to say about the workplace in this kind of setting?
I wouldn't say that we necessarily went into it with any particular overarching view of the workplace. I think what was interesting, and Tyler's mentioned this a couple of times, is that so many workplaces are the same, whether it is, the most boring, menial job you could think of here on Earth, or you are in a spaceship going toward Neptune. And that's part of what we realize is that everybody's workplace, whether you're working at NASA or your local grocery store, has the same sort of annoying little dramas and issues that come up. And
family.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point that Tyler just brought up too, that even within a family, and some of the storylines are there. I mean, a household is in so many ways a small workplace, and that's the way a lot of the episodes run. So that is part of the fun, is that it is set against the high stakes drama of space, but recognizing that all workplaces, no matter how professional, have the same annoyances.
You know, Tyler, throughout the course of TV history, we have had a number of these shows where you have actors or personalities interplaying with puppets. And when you have the kind of chemistry, let's say, that Fran Allison had with Bert Hilstrom on Kuka, Fran and Ollie, or the guest celebrities had on The Muppet Show, or the actors had with Alf, or Fred Willard had in the syndicated series DC Follies, or in England, Spitting Image, and how they mixed, incredible puppetry, it can be very magical television. How did you come up with the humans that have to interact with these puppets, and how do you get that chemistry, particularly off the bat, when you have a premise like this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the casting for the puppeteers and the humans, two separate undertakings, were both exhaustive. And we searched far and wide for the very thing you're trying to describe, which is that chemistry. And that's a real thing. A puppet itself, when well built and well puppeteered, really shines on camera. But just putting them next to just anyone doesn't really work. And I guess the best way to answer it is we looked at thousands of people for the two humans that are presently on the show, and found two people that we thought are great. One of them is a man in space. He's Stuart. He's an IT manager. He's the only human on the ship. And he bears the brunt of the madness that is caused on the ship by the inept but otherwise lovable puppets. And then the character of Natalie Turlington on Earth, she runs Mission Control. And she deals with some puppets on Earth, and also interact plenty with those on the ship just through communication. But yeah, that chemistry is important, and they're as frustrated as often as they're delighted. And here again, we feel really fortunate. The actors we found for the human counterparts, we feel like they've been great.
Tyler and Peter McKellar are our guests this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, and their new series on BYU TV, 9 Years to Neptune, premieres tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time, and of course at 6:30 Central and 5:30 Mountain, all tonight on Brigham Young University's national cable network, BYU TV. And if you have a question or comment or a mini-miss with Tyler and Peter, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And on Friday, we have another 90-minute episode for you. We're going to kick it off with a cartoonist that we have covered before in this program. His name is Steve Bavarian. You may remember a number of years ago, he did a late-night tune for HBO called The Life and Times of Tim. Well, now he's on HBO Max with his latest effort. It's called 10-Year-Old Tom, and he not only created it, he's the executive producer and the main writer. And then Disney Channel is about to have its 100th original movie premiere on October 1st, this Friday. We'll have a same-day interview with the writer-director of Under Wraps, Alex Zem. And finally, you'll meet a pair of podcasters who love talking about anything Law & Order Special Victims Unit. Their names are Liza Trigger and Tara Klink. Their program is called That's Messed Up, and they'll be with us in our final half hour. Sure, they have a lot to say about the 23rd season opener of SVU that was on last Thursday on NBC, followed by the second season opener of Law & Order Organized Crime. That's all coming away Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tyler, what are some of the early adventures that our puppets and human beings get into?
I'll say, first of all, that the rundown of the shows you just mentioned does give us some ideas for season two. We can envision 9 years to Neptune's Special Victims Unit. We think that could be a terrific collaboration there. Some of the early shenanigans that they find themselves in is the entire food supply goes missing, and they're trying to figure out how to feed themselves. That's episode one. Right from the get-go, they're on the brink of starvation.
We've got a social media influencer on board whose life revolves around Instagram, and she loses her Instagram password, which causes great consternation to the entire crew as they worry about trying to help her remember how to her password hints to get into Instagram. They're very, very menial stories like that that blow up into epic proportions.
And one other I'll mention is there's two boys on the ship. Their names are Quentin and Quincy. They're about ages 10 and 8. They're stowaways. They snuck on board the ship with their mother, who is the human resources director for the mission. And one episode revolves around their arguments as to whose turn it is to empty the trash. And like Peter mentioned, our hopes for the show was to make something that truly appeals to parents and kids. And we drew from plenty of real life experiences for some of these scenarios, as any parent can understand the madness of two kids blaming each other for chores that are undone. So we strung that into an entire episode.
By the way, you never know if Dick Wolf is listening. He might get some ideas about, connecting with you guys to do that SVU version of your show. You never know.
Yes, Dick.
The man is always on the lookout for new programs.
our phones, we're standing by the phone, Dick. Please give us a ring. This could be magic.
Yeah, he's a franchise builder. You know, he's got Chicago. He's got now three FBI shows on CBS, three Chicago shows on NBC, plus the Law & Order duo. You never know. Incidentally, what's it been like working with BOIU-TV, especially at a time when they've really stepped up to become a major player in doing situation comedies, family-oriented shows, family-oriented dramedies? They really stepped up in terms of original scripted production in the last year or so.
You know, they've been great. They've been such a great partner to work with, and so really supportive through this. By their own admission, this is new for them, and they've been willing to take a risk on some of these things, and I think they've paid off, and they've been really anxious to get the best product out there. And in working with them, it truly has made a better product. You know, a lot of the ideas we came with, they helped us shape and refine, and in the natural battles that occur between showrunners and the networks, the result of those has been a better show. And BYU has been committed to making something that's great and really pushed us to do better. And it's been a good experience.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any inspirations for a show like this, whether you mentioned the Muppet Show, Jim Henson, or Sid and Marty Crawford at DC Follies, or a Bert Hostrom did Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, which was so successful for not just years but decades. You know, are there any inspirations that you go by to make this show happen?
You know, there was actually a lot. It's interesting. We ended up, as we were writing, in the early stages of pitching and then writing and then even all the way through production, we really did go back and look at so many of the shows you just mentioned in a new light in terms of how did they do that, you know, and what was the magic behind some of those, you know, and watched interviews and behind the scenes and so many details on the Jim Henson stuff and talked to people who worked on those to try and capture what it is they did. And we do feel like there, we did draw inspiration from a lot of those and then tried to combine it with some modern storytelling techniques that we've seen in, you know, The Office and Parks and Rec and some of these newer shows and tried to put those together. I wouldn't say that there was any one of those shows you mentioned that sort of outweighed the others, but we was really interesting. We did spend so much time watching and seeing what worked and what didn't work with puppets and humans together.
So, Peter, do you and Tyler see this series as like the catapulting you into a programming empire like a Dick Wolf, a Shonda Rhimes, a Greg Berlanti, a Ryan Murphy, and other folks, Byron Allen, other people who are you know, becoming multi-series producers?
Well, the idea of becoming a creating some sort of an empire is, of course, very alluring to us. Honestly, I think our expectations are pretty realistic. This is our first foray into this. We've learned a lot about the TV business getting into it, but you betcha, we would love to, and we do have other ideas for more shows, and that we've adjusted as we've gone through this based on what we're learning. Yeah, it's this, as I'm sure any showrunner will tell you, it's simultaneously exhausting and intoxicating. And as soon as you recover from the drubbing that is production, you're like, give me more. I want more. So you bet. We'd love to do more.
The series is 9 years to Neptune, and it premieres tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 Central, 5:30 Mountain on Brigham Young University Television, BYU TV, available on cable and satellite all over the U.S. of A. For more details about the program online, BYUTV.org. That's BYUTV.org. Of course, check your local listings, whether that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. Tyler and Peter McKellar, the creators and showrunners of 9 years Neptune, thank you both very much for being with us this afternoon. Congratulations on getting the show launched tonight. Hopefully, tonight is the beginning of a wonderful long run, not only for this series, but for whatever you want to do beyond it in television.
Simon, thank you so much. It's very kind of you to say, and thank you for having us. We really appreciate this.
It is a pleasure all the way, Tyler and Peter. All the greatest. Take care.
All right, we'll see you.
Tyler and Peter McKellar joining us live from Driggs, Idaho. More tomorrow be televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at audible.com. Have you heard about Vanderbilt? It's the new biography of one of the most incredible families in the history of American society. And it's being written by one of the key people involved with that family, none other than CNN anchor Anderson Cooper, together with Catherine Howe. And you can get this unique audiobook right now with a trial run at audible.com. Remember, audible.com is the spoken digital audio entertainment and information inspiration provider. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, our podcast sites, and our website, tomorrowbetelevised.podsite.io. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, a one-month trial of the service, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, which, by the way, is a special event coming up tomorrow. Maybe some TV stuff coming out of it. So we will highlight for you in our news notes on Wednesday. And also, health and wellness information absolutely gratis as long as it lasts. And don't forget, if you're an Amazon Prime customer, you can get two audiobooks for your trial of one. One of those books could be from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio series and podcast programming, plus the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. So how about making today the day you find out how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? Makes a great gift for you with someone you love. For all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up next, Vizio is premiering a new network next month aimed at people of color. It's called Polaris. We will have an exclusive interview with its founder and principal executive, Ramin J. Dukes. Plus, classic trivia question of the week. And in our up segment, would you believe what happened today on The View after what happened last Friday? We've got all the details. It's all coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com, together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you want a unique musical program, try the Hilltop Radio Show tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. The Hilltop Radio Show, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this final Monday of September 2021. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. 78 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have questions or comments for our next guest this half hour, give us a call. We want to hear you. It's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Last week, Vizio, the smart TV set maker that is now launching original channels in with association with independent parties, announced they're putting together next month a network called Polaris. It is all about content aimed at and produced by people of color. Joining us live in an interradio exclusive is the founder and principal chairperson of Polaris, former MTV person, Raman J. Dukes. Raman, welcome to our program.
How you doing? How's it going?
Very, very well, thank you. And Raman, where are you calling from this Monday?
Calling from New Jersey. I'm a New York native, but I'm calling from New Jersey. I also have my partner, Nate, as well, and he's calling from Detroit.
How are you?
Nate, welcome. Nate, what's your last name?
I'm Nick Clark, C-L-A-R-K.
I'm sorry, say it again.
It's Clark. C-L-A-R-K.
Clark. Okay, got it. Nate, thanks again for coming in. We really appreciate it. Raman, we'll start with you. How long, what is Polaris all about, and how long has it been in creation for?
Well, you know, Polaris, for anybody who's familiar, Polaris is equivalent to the North Star. The North Star is one of the brightest stars you can see from out of the African universe. You know, I've been in the business for about 20, 25 plus years. I'm still a young guy. But, you know, we wanted to come out and create something for the culture that really identified, you know, our roots, you know, African ancestry, et cetera, without really being, you know, bold about it, saying, like, this is the Black Network, et cetera. Like, we wanted to have, like, true definition to it. So I could say Polaris has been in the works for the past like 2 years, but it's really been in the works for the past like 20, 25 plus years. You know, along my journey, you know, myself and the rest of the team, we've been waiting for this opportunity. We've been waiting for this time such as this. So I would say this is the culmination of basically our entire careers.
Mm-hmm. Nate, in the last year, year and a half, we are seeing a surge, and I mean, it's almost like a tidal wave of new networks going through smart TV sets and smart TV devices that are aimed at people of color, whether it's people of color generally or whether it's the African-American community, the Latino community, the Asian-American community, Native American, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How is Polaris differentiated from everyone else out there?
That's an excellent question. I think that number one, a lot of the experience that the team has dealing directly with, you know, our people, it says a lot about what we'll be able to bring to the table. But then also we're taking a data-driven approach so that even though everyone's looking for something that's a little bit more snackable, they're looking for their favorite type of content, we're digging into the data and we're coming up with authentic content that matches what everyone's hungry for.
And I just want to just to add something into there. You know, I know that definitely, you know, as we're talking about, there's been a huge appetite for content and Black-driven content, et cetera. We're one of the originators. We look at ourselves as ambassadors. We're the ones who created this opportunity for it to get to this point. You know, again, like you think back 20 years ago, you know, there was no social media. There wasn't a lot of entities and the tools that present itself for today to make the culture popular. I'm happy and we're proud of it. But, you know, when I first started out in this business, I was 18 years old working at MTV. And there really weren't that many. There weren't any publications like that except for you had, like, Vibe magazine and Source magazine. And that was pretty much it. But there was no digital properties, et cetera. So we're just really following up with, you know, a flag that we planted dating back two decades ago.
Raman, what kind of programming do you want to do? Do you want it a mix of scripted, unscripted? Do you want it largely one way or the other? Do you want to focus on specific genres or subject matter?
Well, for one, I just want to make sure, you know, it's Raman. I basically, you know, when we first started, you know, again, I came through MTV, which is such a huge powerhouse that really shined a light on, like, these A-list artists, et cetera. So our goal was always to give opportunity to the unprivileged or what people felt was unprivileged, like the upcoming artists, et cetera, who didn't have the money to play a big-budget music video on TV, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And that's just really been our motto, like, we're a voice of the people. So, yeah, it's gonna delve, obviously, into urban music, you know, from hip-hop to R&B, but we'll also do a bunch of, you know, EDM coverage as well. We're going to delve into fashion. We're going to delve into tech. And obviously, you know, I don't want to say social justice because we live that life. When I walk outside, I go to the store or whatever, et cetera, and if I have to deal with things as a black man, I don't look at that as social justice. That's just a part of my everyday life. And we've been at the forefront of that movement, and that's definitely something that we're going to tap into, which is like race relations, you know, been a real core competency of the things of what I've been doing. So it's really going to be a combination of that. You agree, Nate?
I do. I think I couldn't have said it better myself. The thing that may seem distinct, you know, to others, the fact that we've had to go through whatever it is we've gone through just in our, you know, everyday existence, being able to share that experience and connect with the public, I think that's going to be a huge focus of ours moving forward.
And to, you know, to top that off, you know, we're not just creating a television channel. You know, within TV, they've had their challenges, obviously. And like I said, I was working at a major television company when there was no social media. So I seen the transition from TV to social media to digital, et cetera. And that's one of the core elements of what we're really going to tap into. Like, again, like, this is not just a fad. Like, when we say that we're a black-owned network, that's something that you're not going to hear us running around saying, like, because it's in our DNA, so we don't have to say it. But we're really black-owned to the point from, you know, we're all digitally savvy. We're all socially savvy. Like, our technology is through black individuals, a core team of young, really smart people, you know, from top to bottom, you know. So we're gonna cover basically, you know, what's going on in the world today. It's not just so much about just music. When you look around, you see that MTV was really onto something when they had things like a choose or lose, which really focused on, you know, the youth and the world activities. And I don't think anybody can doubt that right now, you know, the world is in, like, one of the most interesting times than ever. And you have these youth who they don't really have something to point to get, like, information, et cetera. You know, they're too young to go to CNN. And, you know, so their resource is the Internet, you know, and we want to be able to get in on the conversation, which we have. And so that's really going to be, like, a core point of what we're doing and shining a light on, like, a lot of these really incredible content creators that's out there.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with two of the key executives behind the brand new network Polaris that will be launching next month, initially on Vizio smart TV sets. And that's Raman J. Dukes, who is the founder and principal chairman, and his colleague, Nate Clark. They're both joining us live this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised, an Internet Radio exclusive interview. And we're happy you are aboard for the ride as well. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. 78 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Raman or Nate? Don't be shy. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, first of three-episode week here on the program, our second three-episode week in a row. Coming your way on our next episode Wednesday, first of two 90-minute editions this week, we will have the director of content on the brand-new primetime news program, The National Desk, which premieres tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Sinclair-owned television stations around the country that are affiliated with the CW and My Network TV. Director of Content Michael Garber will be with us as our lead guest on Wednesday. And then from the brand new CBS series NCIS Hawaii, which looks like it will be the number one new broadcast network series premiere last week, episode 2 tonight, executive producer and lead writer Chris Silver. And from Idle Chat, playing on Retro TV and the Family Channel, executive producer Roger Neal, who has been reset from one of our episodes last week. It's all coming up on Wednesday, less than 48 hours from now. 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Nate, what are some of the initial shows that Polaris will have on?
Excellent. I know we got a couple of great shows coming. We got Bridge Business, which is going to be fantastic, right? We have Method to the Madness. And what these core shows are going to do is they're going to give a level of authenticity just to, you know, the programming, because it's going to be the real deal coming from the real people, right? The people that have earned trust over decades, right? People that you have the facial recognition. They've already built up, a special place in the minds and in the hearts of who we believe our target market would be. So when they actually see them and they're delivering content and it's a story or it's a perspective that's near and dear to their heart, I think it will help an audience connect with them in a way that they haven't been able to really connect in quite some time.
And to expand on that, the Method Man show, you know, these are all like really special elements. And again, it really tends to our coverage of the culture over the course of the years. You know, Method Man's never really done a show before, you know, and this show is going to document his entire time, you know, in the music business. But it's also going to have a bit of a twist to it, where we're going to go from various cities and just raising social awareness. But we're going to use Method Man's story as far as the springboard. The Bridge Business show that what Nate was referencing also features Sway. Sway is a very key component of Polaris. You know, aside from being a close personal friend of mine, Sway is one of our business partners as well. Like, he sits on like the executive board, and then we're going to have a daily show as well, which is like our version of like an ESPN type style show that features legendary journalist Shaheem Reed. Shaheem Reed, one of the best journalists in the business. And then we're going to start rolling out. We have a couple different phases. We also have a show that caters into music videos. And the significance with that is going to be about how we message that and our POV, like on social and digital. And then we also have a late night comedy show that we're developing with Cypher Sound, formerly of Hot 97. And we have a female nightlife-driven show, which kind of delves into, you know, the strip club culture and just the culture of what women have to deal with, et cetera. We have a social justice show that we'll be rolling out as well, a children's program that we also are working on developing, and definitely like a religious show as well that caters more to the youth. I think that when people hear religion, especially within like the African American culture, they think that it automatically targets like an older generation. But we're going to make this so it targets like a younger generation. There's a lot of young artists who are actually like really religious artists, such as I forgot the guy's name, but he's one of the biggest hip hop artists right now who's out there. But he's actually like a really big religious artist. So we're going to shine a light on a bunch of that, and we're going to slowly really pick up the pieces that we felt that really haven't had that true opportunity. So it's music, and you know, it's going to encompass like just the entire culture in general.
Ramon, one of the new elements of this TV scene is that we're seeing smart TV set makers like Vizio and smart TV device makers like Roku now create their own programming or partner with organizations like yours or people like you to create programming. We had Catherine Pond, who is the Vice President of Business Development at Vizio, on our show a month ago, and to talk about this new collection of channels they're creating. They've got your channel. They're working on an esports channel. They're working on a channel for the gay and lesbian community. They're working on other channels as well. They've already put a true crime investigation service on the air. How did the Vizio partnership come about, and will they allow you to also market your service to other smart TV set makers and device makers?
So I'll answer the first part. I'll let Nate answer the latter. Basically, you know, we've been an independent entity for some time now, so we work closely with the with a lot of the brands and sponsors, et cetera. You know, we do a lot of live content. We're one of the main partners for the Rolling Loud Festival, which is like the thriving hip-hop festival. And we always work with brands, et cetera. So, you know, it really came about where, you know, and again, we pride ourselves in this story, and I'm glad that you asked that, because this wasn't an opportunity that just presented itself to us. We created this opportunity that came through conversations where we were looking to partner with Vizio on a few different content activations that what we had. And over the course of, you know, these conversations going back and forth, you know, it was like, hey, you know, they were looking to get into the content space. So our team went back and drew up a plan. We came up with a plan and we presented that to them, you know, where it's like, hey, this is what we can do. We can create an entire operation and run it from top to bottom. You know, and again, when you talk about the significance of this operation, this is a thing where, you know, you got to understand, like, when you deal with in television, it's really only about 13 hours of original programming. We're aiming to do 24/7 hours of original programming. You know, so when you turn the TV on at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, like, you're going to see original programming. You know, but yeah, it was a concept of what we had. You know, me, myself, personally, I was determined to create a platform along the lines of a television channel, you know, that I felt that was needed for the culture. You know, I have the highest regards for BET and Revolt, which I launched Revolt personally, along with a bunch of great, incredible minds. And then you have stuff like Ralph McDaniel's Video Music Box. But I still felt like there was an opportunity, like a true opportunity for us to get into the game. So we were already in, you know, the whole, you know, DIY mentality. And, you know, so it was very interesting how this time really presented itself and how, you know, the timing of it, like, it couldn't have been even better, you know. And, it was a gift from God. How to look at it. I'll let Nate chime in on the second half.
Yeah. As far as Vizio as a company, we've seen Vizio just make it seems like a lot of really good decisions in a row with the data, with the way that they're approaching, you know, different projects. So, and it's very important for me, you know, having a background in, you know, in the finance space, to see a company do things like that. And just after digging in, doing the research, it looks like Vizio, they're dialed in, right? Like, they understand it. They look at the data, and the data says that this is what your people want. You need to make changes. You need to transform. You need to do whatever is necessary to make sure that your people are satisfied. And I believe that that's was part of their motivation internally for coming up with what seems to be a recent series of home runs, and I don't think it'll be slowing down anytime soon.
And Nate, just staying on that front, another element of this expanding world of programming that we're seeing is these multi-channel bundles like Tubi, Xumo, Philo, FuboTV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Have you heard from any of those bundles, which are distributed through smart TV sets and devices, of taking the service also?
That's an excellent question. It's still really early. It's interesting that we've just recently made a little bit of an announcement. I expect that, you know, we'll see different organizations start to reach out. They'll start to see some of the things that we're doing, some of the forward progress, some of the traction, and I think it would be very difficult to resist an opportunity for us to work together.
If you have a question or a thought to our guests, Ramon J. Dukes and Nate Clark from Polaris, which will premiere next month on Vizio's smart TV sets, available nationwide and also worldwide too, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up before the top of the hour, we have our classic trivia question of the week. Stand by. If you're first with the correct answer, two prizes in play. One is an I Love Lucy Nixon Match Magnet set, and the other is the Stars special from a long time back, A Hollywood Christmas, about all those great Christmas movies narrated by Jane Seymour. You can win both. If you know the correct answer to our question, we'll pose it for you in the next few minutes before the top of the hour. Ramon, since Vizio made the announcement about Polaris's launch last week, have you heard from advertisers who want to be part of the network? And are you hearing from content creators, whether they want to do scripted shows or unscripted shows, to be part of what you're doing?
Interesting. Yeah, I've the phone's definitely been ringing a lot more, shall I say. You know, again, we've been in this business, so, you know, we're constantly, you know, in the mix of, like, very interesting conversations. But we have a number of very impactful sponsors who we're having conversations with, a number of really big artists as well. So it's, to be honest, I've been a little bit, you know, I was talking to Nate and he could give his perspective too, but he's been pretty overwhelmed, you know, like with the feedback of what we've gotten so far. But you know, it's love and it's expected, and it makes us feel that our message is already getting out there. Nate, would you agree?
I totally agree. I'm getting almost like a fervor, right? It's like building up, like a large amount of excitement. And it may be manifesting itself in, you know, phone calls and text messages and emails right now, but I think a lot of that is going to translate into a lot of the strategic partnerships that you were just mentioning, as well as an increase in our, you know, audience size.
Vizio, by the way, is also a player now in getting advertising for its smart TV or SmartCast collection of channels. Are they helping you in any way in terms of, A, opening doors for you with advertisers and or opening doors with you with potential content creators?
Well, you know, I'll answer more about the content creators question. I'll let Nate chime in on the other one. We, you know, one of the other things, like I said, along our journey, I've been at the forefront of watching content grow to where it is now, you know, and so I've developed a number of relationships with individuals in every single city and, you know, internationally, you know, Polaris is, obviously we're going to live up to the name. It's going to extend to South Africa. We're going to have an extension in Johannesburg, South Africa, and South Africa overall. So we're definitely in, you know, in the business of, you know, helping cultivate these content creators. That's one of our missions. Aside from creating compelling content, you know, that we're excited to share with the world, it's also about educating the culture and giving these content creators these type of opportunities that we feel that they've been deprived of all these years, that we feel we're in a position where we can really help educate them because of our experience, you know, over the past two decades. Nate, you could pick it up from there.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And as far as our partnership, I think that this has a really great definition of what a partnership means. And I think instead of us, you know, hey, one of us always opening the door for the other, right? I think we take turns opening doors for each other, right? The way that we work together, it's more of a systematic and it's more of a foundational approach. So as opportunities present themselves, I think regardless of whether or not, you know, who's 51 and who's 49, I think we'll be able to put ourselves in position to not only bring the best of both organizations, you know, forward for a partnership, but I think that we'll come up with new and exciting ways to grow that neither one of us has even thought of yet.
And I'm very proud of our team. From, you know, when I say that, the perspective of, you know, we've been independent, you know, for the past like 10 years pretty much, and you know, we've dealt with brands and sponsors personally on our own, so we're very savvy with the business. Partnering with Vizio just made all the sense in this world because we love trying new things. Again, like, we're ambassadors of the culture. We want to inspire, like, this generation to say, hey, you can do this too. And within that, you know, Vizio definitely did present a lot of incredible opportunities as far as, like, brands and sponsors. So they have been helpful on that front, which we only anticipate to build even more. So they've definitely done a really good job of that thus far. But, you know, we do the same thing as well.
Yeah. Do we have an exact launch date next month for Polaris?
Trying to get the release date. I'll say it's going to be, let's just say it's going to be a great time for Halloween this year. It will be around there. We have a very big festival coming up in New York City called the Rolling Loud Festival, and we're working on some very interesting partnership aspects around that. But you could definitely expect it to be within, like, the last week in October. And there's a lot of significance there. Like, aside from the fact that October, you know, around that time, you know, our partnership with Rolling Loud Festival, which hits New York, they tend to, you know, they're in, their flagship show is May in Miami, and then they do Los Angeles. But this is the second time they've done New York, and it's really special. So that's special for me. I'm a New York native. So we're going to do something around that time. And then it also, for me, again, like, personally, it culminates around the time of the anniversary of the death of Jam Master Jay, DJ from Run DMC. That was a personal journalistic project that I personally have been working on since it happened, for the past, like, 18 years. So, you know, we put meaning behind every single thing that what we do. So we don't have the exact date, but it will definitely be within, like, that last week in October.
Well, Ramon and Nate, what we would like to do is, when your network launches, we would like to have you both back along with one of the producers or executive producers of one of your key shows to highlight the launch and where it's going from here. So we'll be working with your publicist to make that happen. Again, Polaris will be launching next month on Vizio Smart TV sets, hopefully other Smart TV set devices, multi-channel bundles after that. Ramon, if people want to know more about the service, what is the website that they should go to?
Nate?
Watchpolaris.com. And so we're in the process of putting together some things that will detail exactly how you can watch, regardless of what device you have. And that will be uploaded to the site along with some preliminary content a little bit later on this week. But if you go to watchpolaris.com, just submit your name. We promise we won't spam you. We'll put you on the list that you'll be signed up to get notified of all of the changes that we make, and you'll be in a prime position. You can consider yourself in the front row for lunch.
All right, so it's watchpolaris.com. And if you want to know more about Polaris and the other original networks that Vizio is putting on their smart TV sets, go to Vizio.com, V-I-C-I-O.com. Also, check out our recent interview about a month ago with Catherine Pond, the Vice President of Business Development at Vizio, with an interradio system. You can check that out at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Ramon J. Dukes, Nate Clark, thank you both very, very much for coming on this half hour.
Thank you.
All the very best
thank
to both
you
of you and your crew to get Polaris off the ground next month.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
Thanks for
Thank
having
you.
Us. We appreciate the opportunity.
You're very, very welcome, Ramon and Nate. Ramon and Nate, take care. Have a great, great week ahead.
You too.
Bye.
All right.
Ramon J. Dukes and Nate Clark joining us live from Polaris. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. Get your thinking caps ready. If you got the correct answer, you can win the Star Special Hollywood Christmas, all those great Hollywood Christmas movies with The Wonderful Life to Scrooge, hosted by James Seymour, and the I Love Lucy Mix and Match Magnet Set. Here's the question. Name the fictional area of Los Angeles where The Shield took place. Name the fictional area of Los Angeles where The Shield, remember that series on FX, the first scripted series starring Michael Chiklis in an Emmy Award-winning performance as Vic Mackey, that rogue cop, where that series took place. Name the fictional area of Los Angeles where The Shield took place. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your mailing address. First is the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, get in the game today. and all the very best. When we come back, did you hear about the follow-up to what was awkward about The View on Friday morning? We got the details about today's episode, The View. That's in our Up segment. Plus, we will offer a tribute to a wonderful ABC News correspondent and anchor person who's been around the last 20 years and said goodbye on Good Morning America after a great run there yesterday. We're talking about Dan Harris. And well, some other things, too, including who we've got coming up later this week. All ahead for you after we pause after the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tunein.com, together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you want a very interesting radio experience, how about Sisters United? That's Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Sisters United, right here exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised on this Monday afternoon, the last one of September, 27 to be exact, 2021. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Weather, York. Welcome to those who are just joining us at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment about the world of television, you can still give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. By the way, Nate Clark III, one of the people we talked to, was in our chat room as well throughout our last half hour. If you tuned in for that, our exclusive interview about the new Vizio network, Polaris. So, Nate, thank you for also being in the chat room as well as live with us last half hour. So all you got to do is give us a call, 646-652-2906, or like Nate, put yourself in the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Now time for Up, as in update, where we catch up on guests and topics we have covered on this program. On Friday, our lead news note was the awkward situation that unfolded that morning on The View. Just in case you were under a foxhole somewhere, here's what happened. Vice President Kamala Harris was scheduled to be interviewed live in the studio here in New York by The View's co-host. And before she was interviewed, two of those co-hosts, Sonny Hostin and Anna Navarro, were asked by an off-camera voice to go backstage, and the voice said, well, we'll bring them back in a couple minutes. That did not happen. In fact, there was so much confusion that ABC had to go to a commercial break live within minutes after Hostin and Navarro went backstage. After that commercial break, Joy Behar, one of the other co-hosts of The View, along with Sarah Haynes, had some unfortunate news that both Hostin and Navarro had tested positive for the coronavirus. And because of that, the Harris interview had to be quickly rearranged so that rather than doing the interview on set in front of that live audience at West 66th Street, they had to go to another part of that building to have Harris sit down and be interviewed by Haynes and Behar, which happened without any problems. Well, after the show and after our program, Navarro turned up on Anderson Cooper's 8 p.m. Eastern Time CNN newscast. And what she disclosed to Anderson was the following, that she had taken two more coronavirus pandemic tests after the show went off the air, The View went off the air, and they were both negative. And that should have set some fire alarm bells in some journalists. Why did Hostin and Navarro's test be positive at 11 a.m. on Friday morning, and then later, at least with Navarro, two tests negative? What the heck happened? Was there some malarkey going on? Well, this morning on The View, also live before that studio audience here in New York, Joy Behar came on at the beginning, which, by the way, you can see on YouTube, and said the following. Those two tests that were positive by Hostin and Navarro, they weren't. They were false. They were incorrect. In actuality, they were negative all alone. They never contracted the coronavirus. And by the way, they were both vaccinated along with the rest of the host crew on The View. And as it turned out, the executive producer of The View, who was on the set, had to get on camera and apologize for what took place on Friday morning and saying also, I wish we could take back what happened. You know, we at The View have strict COVID situations with testing. We're, you know, up and up and so on and so forth. So as it turned out, both Navarro and Hostin were really not positive at all, but negative. And Hostin, by the way, right after that announcement, came on and talked about what she had to do when she learned that her test was positive. And it was a real, real sobering story. because of the domino effect that test provoked, even though it was false, even though it was incorrect, even though it was a lie. She had to alert her husband, who is a doctor here in New York, was alerted before doing surgery. He had to get retested. Other members of Hassan's family had to be notified as well, one in school who had to go out of school and deal with it, and on and on and on. I'm sure the same thing happened with Navarro. It really does make you wonder, why the heck did this situation happen? Who was responsible for this? Why was this test positive, given the fact that both Navarro and Hostin were negative and had not shown negative testing before the View episode on Friday morning? I hope that ABC or ABC News, which is responsible for the View now, will do some sort of investigation about this. This is really troubling. And you have to also wonder whether this is going to promote a new dialogue about whether these tests are fallible in terms of their accuracy. So we'll see what happens. But the bottom line is, if you haven't heard, those initial tests on Friday that impacted Hostin and Navarro having to leave the View, they were not that positive situation was a mistake. It was false. It was incorrect. It was a lie. They were negative all along. And again, Navarro was on Anderson Cooper on Friday night saying, I took two tests after the View went off the air at noon on Friday. And yes, both tests turned negative. It's some kind of story. And I'd love to get your thoughts on it. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Or find me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, social media. And let me know, and I'll respond to you within 24 hours. So let me know what you think. And that's up as an update. Yesterday morning, staying with ABC, one of ABC's top correspondents and anchor people called it a day and a career maybe in journalism after 21 years there. I'm referring to Dan Harris, who started his career nationally as an ABC News correspondent on World News Tonight, went to Afghanistan, covered other hotspots as well as major stories around the country, then became an anchor on World News Now, the overnight ABC News program on many of their stations, then became co-anchor of Nightline as well as correspondent, and finally, for the last 11 years, the co-anchor of Good Morning America's weekend editions on Saturday and Sunday. Yesterday was Dan Harris's final day at ABC. Those of you that have watched GMA, you may know, or followed Harris's career, you may know that several years ago, after an incident involving Harris on the air that transformed his life, he founded an entrepreneurial enterprise dealing with meditation, which has done very well and has grown over the last few years. And so much so that it was time for Harris to make a choice, stay on with ABC or devote full-time to his meditation enterprise. And he decided the latter, along with his family. So yesterday, Harris had his final day at ABC. They had a wonderful tribute to him. His former co-anchor, Paula, was on the air by videotape. Ron Claiborne, the former ABC newsreader and correspondent on GMA, and GMA Weekend, came by in the studio to offer some thoughts, and I thought he was really classy in what he did. And then Harris, down the stretch on Sunday, had the final say with great congratulations and acknowledgement to all of his anchor people and colleagues, past and present, at ABC. I've enjoyed Harris's work for years. He is a class act. He's what journalists ought to be. He's fair. He's objective. And he's willing to say the unspoken thing you don't normally say. His reporting has been solid all throughout his career, no matter what the showplace was for it or the forum was, whether it was Nightline or World News Tonight, GMA, and he will be missed. And by the way, in case you don't know, he was also a game show host with that series that ran two seasons. He was on the second season, 500 Questions. Remember that game on ABC, 500 Questions? The more you answer, the more money you won. And you could, as long as you kept answering questions and didn't get three questions wrong in a row, the more you won. And he was terrific. I still think he'd be a good game show host. And incidentally, nothing about Dan, he is a very, very slyly funny human being. He likes to sort of stick a little aside in, and he's usually good and on the mark and very funny with it. And I hope that whatever he does, if he does do television down the road, I hope he'll bring out that humorous side. More and more and more. Dan, if you get a chance to hear this, congratulations on a wonderful career with ABC News over the last two decades and change, and a great 11 years with GMA Weekend. Wish you the very, very best with your meditation enterprise. I know it is a success now, and it'll be even greater success. And to you and your family, all the very best, and maybe hopefully come back to television on your terms and doing what you love to do. And I hope that YouTube had, and I'm sure YouTube, by the way, has a tape of his final segment on GMA, or the full episode of GMA, the hour last Sunday morning, this past yesterday. So before we leave you, I want to say something else about our effort to get guests on this program. As you can tell, the TV universe is stretching in all sorts of ways at all sorts of directions. And it's everything from more shows on broadcast, more shows on cable, more new networks running on smart TV sets and devices, smart TV devices and sets creating new networks and new series, and the mega content services just, you know, putting on the hose and revving up with all sorts of new shows, whether it's on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In the 14 years we've been on this program, we have tried to be as fair as possible and cover this gamut of television in as fair and balanced a way as we could. And I want you to know that we are going to keep on trying to do that in spite of the spigots of all these places going on full blast. We have made some progress in terms of trying to get more of the Netflix scripted shows on. We're getting the press release about them a lot more fast and furious than we did. We're trying to work more with Paramount Plus, Discovery Plus. We've had some success with some of the shows on HBO Max. We of course continue to work with Amazon, Hulu, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing a lot of stuff with Amazon, Dance Support Network, IMDb.tv. And of course, we are doing better this year than we did last year, having some of the top new series on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, et cetera, et cetera. We brought you Alter Ego. On Wednesday, we've got the executives of NCIS Hawaii. So we had La Brea on from NBC on Friday. So we're going to keep on keeping on to try to bring you the widest possible coverage. If I had my way, frankly, I would be doing this 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, maybe 6 days a week, because of all the developments that are going on in this world of television. This medium really keeps you on your toes. But I want to let you know, in year 15, our mandate continues and grows, which is to bring you the wide world of television's current and future, and having you be in touch and interact with the people making that current and future happen. If there's people that you would like us to cover or shows like to cover, please let us know, and we'll try to do our very best. And I want to thank all the PR people that we deal with on a regular basis, and new PR people coming in all the time from either the networks, the service themselves, as well as independent agencies to make something happen. So hang in there, folks. We are trying our very best. And we, by the way, one of the ways that we're responding is we're doing more 90-minute shows, and maybe we'll do more two-hour shows as well. So stay tuned. We think the greatest is still to come right here, year 15, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I want to thank our guests for joining us today and all of you for tuning in. Remember, we have two more episodes coming your way this week to wrap up September and bring your October on in style. Coming up on Wednesday, we will have the content director at the new primetime late-night news program, The National Desk, running tonight on Sinclair stations around the country that carry the CW and or My Network TV. Michael Garber is our lead guest. Then, from NCIS Hawaii on CBS Episode 2 tonight, 10 p.m. East Pacific Time, it looks like that series was the highest-rated news series premiere on broadcast television last week. Chris Silber, the executive producer and one of the key writers, will be with us. And an interview reset from last week, the executive producer of Idle Chat, which reunites cast members from classic TV shows and other media, was supposed to be with us last Monday. Roger Neal will be with us on Wednesday. And then on Friday, from the new HBO Max animated series, 10-year-old Tom, creator, writer, executive producer Steve Zadarian, remember his show Life and Times of Tim, was on for several years, late night, Fridays at 11 p.m. on HBO. Also, we'll have the writer and director of the 100th Disney Channel original movie premiering October 1st, Under Wraps, Alex Zam, and those two podcasters who love talking about Law & Order SVU and related shows with their weekly series, Track, That's Messed Up, podcast hosts Lisa Traeger and Kara Clay. If you came in late on today's program or want to catch up on an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast, They're available 24/7. Any or all of our episodes this week and earlier, check them out on our iHeartRadio Podcast Network feed, on Apple Podcasts, also on Apple Tunes and on iTunes and Apple TV, Amazon Music, Verbal, Reason FM, other places as well. Incidentally, if there is a place on the podcast world or podcast dial that doesn't take our show, like Spotify, Audible, et cetera, please let them know nicely that you want them to take our show, have them contact me directly, and we'll make something happen. And, of course, remember, we always love hearing from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's $1 million Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And also our Show to Know feature is a show you like that deserves more attention. Let me know. You use suggestion on the ear, you get the credit. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum. LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. We always appreciate hearing from you, and we do respond in 24 hours or less. Why? Because, as always, what you say matters now more than ever before. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toews, BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website maintenance is provided by PodSite, the Internet's new podcast destination. For more, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator there is guitarist Fakus. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. Back in less than 48 hours, I should say. That's 48 hours from now. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and other podcast affiliates, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Wherever you're at between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. If you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor, go over your medical records, and then make a great choice. And we will lift this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.